Sean Spicer joins us now, and our mutual friend Pat Brady says hello. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I miss him.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
I appreciate you being on. He said the last time he saw you was actually when Pat was wandering around the White House, and you said, excuse me, what are you doing here?
You never know who you're going to bump into.
All right, so we were just talking about this off the air. The basic job is to tell the truth or to tell the president's truth. How would you define it?
Well, I think your job, when asked what he's feeling or believing, then your job is to express what the president feels or believes based on what he tells you. If it's a factually based question, then you answer it factually.
Right, but the point being, and certainly I had my differences with you in your time, but I felt like you weren't treated fairly a lot of the time, because the job, as I understand it, is you go in, you're closer to the information than most people. But the administration wants the story or the answers to be told in a particular way. And you could tell those truthfully, but sometimes you might be riding the line.
Well, I mean, look, I think what the difference is that there's a lot of questions that aren't black and white or yes or no, and they require context to why a decision was made or what's going on or how a situation is evolving. And therefore, there is a game of gotcha. And there's a question of whether or not you're seeking information because you want to understand what's happening behind the scenes or how a decision is being made, or whether or not you're trying to, you know, for lack of a better word, catch somebody.
You know, I've been surprised at the interviews I've seen in the past few days. There's a lot of people who are lashing out at you, and frankly, I don't feel it's
what?
Entirely... Yeah, really, I don't know if you noticed. not entirely fairly. Do you feel that's Trump anger, or are they legitimately angry at you?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, I think that there are some people that look at it like, all right, you want to come back? We're getting a good bite at the apple here. I understand that. That's fair. That's part of this process, and that's why our country's so amazing. We've got a free and fair press that can do what they want, and frankly, anybody can express what they want. I wrote this book because I wanted people to understand a little bit of what happened behind the scenes, but also to sort of understand my perspective on what was happening during some of these key seminal moments that they have read about. And not that it necessarily will change their opinion, but so that they might have a little bit more context as to what was happening.
The Briefing, Politics, Press, and the President, Sean Spicer, out and available everywhere. Tell me what it's like to go in that room. Obviously, your perspective with Donald Trump, but you go in the room, I assume the president and the chief of staff are there, and then whoever else may be associated with the meeting at that point. How much time do you have before you go out and do the briefing where you are talking about the message of the day?
So one of the parts of the book, I'd been asked a lot of questions about what was it like a day in the life of the press secretary. I literally walked through what it was every day, how we did it, and it depended on the day. But generally speaking, you know, we'd prep. It was like a final exam every day, and you'd spend a good chunk of the morning talking to subject matter experts, whether it's the National Security Council or the National Economic Council or whomever, where you knew that issue was going to be coming up either proactively or defensively, to try to get up to speed and make sure that we had all of the information that we had when the briefing went off. And then many times I would go in and talk to the president and say, hey, this is going, there's no question this subject or this question is going to get asked. This is how I think that, you know, the advisors are suggesting we respond. Are you good with that? Do you have any edits or thoughts? And the president would give me his feedback.
Could you push back?
100%. Look, I think that's one of the biggest misperceptions of Donald Trump. He invites and welcomes advice, counsel, and even critique. He sometimes agrees with it, sometimes disagrees with it, but he welcomes it.
Sean, some of the criticism of the book has to do with just recounting some of the recent memory or recent current events that we all played out, and your point of view on it, and some people questioning the accuracy or inaccuracy. But emotionally, that's, I think people want to get at what it's like to be in that role for you specifically, as someone who had was sort of the embodiment of where we are as a country, as to how divisive we are right now. What was it like emotionally to be at that podium and to have a press corps and a nation hang on every word?
I think a great question. I get into that a lot because I don't I'm not looking for any sympathy, but I don't know that people fully appreciate, you know, how what kind of a toll it takes on you. And I was with a former kind of counterpart of mine from the other side of the aisle the other night, and she said to me, you know, I don't think people fully appreciate what it takes to stand up there. And neither of us were looking for sympathy. But, you know, I tell a story in the book. One day I come home and my house is up for sale on Zillow. You know, and no one, you can't get out there and complain about it. This is the job you signed up for. But, you know, someone had gone out and found a way to post my house up for sale.
Well, there's no way you could have known you were getting into that. I mean, you know.
No, but I agree. But I think, and like I said, I'm not looking for sympathy in this, but I think that there's an element that you don't fully understand will occur in terms of the emotional impact and intensity that takes place.
What was the best and the worst day at work? What was your favorite day?
My favorite day, and I know some of your listeners may not like this, but I loved when the New England Patriots came to the White House, but not so much just because it was the Patriots, who I'm a lifelong fan of, but more so because I got to share that day with a bunch of my family. And my greatest days and memories in the White House were when I got to take this experience that I was so privileged to have. I grew up in Rhode Island. I was in a non-political family, and the idea that I was staying at this podium, I loved when I got to share part of the White House with complete strangers, friends and family, and bring them in and say, you know, and know that I was creating a memory for them as it had been for me, you know, when we had visited Washington as a kid. I mean, granted, we only stood outside the White House, but those are those kind of moments that you remember for the rest of your life. And so I always loved being able to share it.
What was the toughest day?
Well, I'm not sure if you saw it, but the first day was probably not my finest.
Well, yeah, we played the clip, but I mean, honestly,
oh, thank you.
That's been hit a million times. Where were you when you first saw the Melissa McCarthy bit?
In my kitchen. I write very extensively about this because obviously there's a ton of interest, but we had left for church that morning, and my wife had said, hey, there was this thing on Saturday Night Live, and we were trying to get the kids ready to go, and I said, all right, we'll watch it and get back. And I'm sitting in church, and it just, like, I can hear the phone vibrating telling me there's another text or a tweet. And, like, I walk out of church and I'm like, we gotta go straight home. And I pull up the DVR, you know, go to the DVR, pull down the segment. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Well, listen, I mean this and certainly Pat Brady being a friend, he said you're a really good guy, and you and I don't know each other, and it's no secret how I feel about the president here, but I feel you're in a very difficult situation, and more days than not, you handled it well, and you do a nice job of being self-deprecating and things in this book. But what's your state of optimism about the country now and the current state of affairs?
I will just thank you for having me on. Thank you for the kind words. I hope that we can back to, while disagreeing on policies and being partisan, I wish we could get back to a more civil and respectful discussion in this country.
I know you got to run. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Josh.